from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome to Red Friday. For your Kansas City Chiefs, it is week 9, and they have one more game before the bye week. A tough matchup with some details that are going to ebb and flow a little bit. I think that Ezekiel Hill is going to miss this game, but there's still always a chance, right? We're going to talk about that. Chris will join us here in a minute. We're going to talk about what are the keys and the matchups for this game, Chiefs versus Cowboys, that are really important that we have to pay attention to. The contests within the contest that the Chiefs have to win to get this done. We are brought to you today by MyBookie. Go check them out. We're going to tell you more about them later in the show. Please check out the rest of the podcast network, the Dallas Show, as well as the Locked On NFL and the Fantasy and everything else. Plenty going on there. If you're somebody new to us, thank you for listening. Check us out. Get subscribed on iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play Music, all kinds of stuff. Anywhere you want to go, it's in the show notes. If you're seeing this on a website, you can click those, follow the link, and it'll get you there. We have a little bit of news to go over. In terms of the injuries, what was kind of a cloud of dust yesterday surrounding the Tamahali event, he was reactivated on Thursday, was at practice, so that kind of cleared itself up. Haven't heard anything specifically about what his representatives that were reportedly involved in something, what that meant or what has occurred. So we're waiting for that update, but he was out at practice, and he was not alone. The other good news is that everyone else except for Dee Ford and Albert Wilson was able to go. And yes, those are two guys that the team has relied on. Dee Ford looks like it might be out a little bit. They're looking at that back injury as a reoccurrence. I think they're getting second opinions at this point, or else they probably have something to report. So this may be something that limits his participation the rest of the season. Maybe they're aiming at a postseason comeback, something like that. We're going to have to find out a lot more before we know whether they're going to have him to rely on. Albert Wilson, same knee, seems day-to-day. He's not practicing currently, so you're not looking at having him at Dallas unless something really strange occurs. But here's the bright side. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif is a full go. Was at practice both these days, didn't have any reoccurrence. You know, sometimes when a guy comes back and first gets back on the practice field, the jarring of getting back into a practice flow can maybe set him back a little bit, where maybe the second day he's not able to participate. But Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, full go both days, should have a walkthrough Friday and be ready to go. Justin Houston was a little limited with that knee, but he's been battling that for a little bit. I don't expect anything for him in terms of missing any time. So really it comes down to the Ford and Wilson issue. We're going to talk about some of the things surrounding the pass rush and things that they need to do to take care of that, as well as these matchups here in a minute. And since it is Red Friday, something new, we're going to play a couple of your voicemails. We appreciate you guys calling in the line. Some of them have been getting through, getting a lot of missed calls. Keep that coming. We have some great stuff, and we're going to answer a couple of your questions today. So what we're going to do today is we've gotten a couple of great voicemails that are kind of timely for what's going on with the Chiefs pass rush right now. So We appreciate you guys leaving these voicemails. That's 913-777-4457.
Can you do it faster?
No, I'm just kidding. I could maybe try, but yeah, it's going to get ugly. But so thank you for leaving the voicemails. You know, it's important to get this back and forth. We want to answer your questions. So if you have more, please dial in and just leave us a voicemail, and we will get to it. These two particular are about a topic that we've been talking about kind of sparingly, and it's been mostly focused on Justin Houston. So let's get into it and listen to the first one from Seamus.
Hey, this is Seamus again. So Ryan and Chris, I had a question for you. With Dee Ford playing the way he is now, and with possible back injury looming, and the fact that if you cut him this year, you have no dead cap space and save almost $9 million, would you keep him this year? And if, let him go on his fifth year, or do you cut him? Thanks.
I don't know. What do you think?
I can see an argument for both sides. It's really hard for me to say to cut the guy, but I don't know that he's worth the $9 million that he's going to get paid next year.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. Here's the problem. He's a little bit hurt. Which unfortunately is becoming a recurring issue with him. But right now you don't have anybody that can replace him in any way. I'm what we found out Thursday is that Tom O'Haly is back at practice and that he has been started on that path, but he's not active. He's not on the roster. He's not on the injury report because he's not an active player. He's in that kind of limbo between when you come off the PUP or the IR designated return and you're not quite active yet. You have that 3-week window before you have to be placed on the active roster. So right now, I mean, you're looking at continuing to go with Frank Zombo. And we're going to talk about K-Pass here in a little bit. But because it's past the trade deadline, I don't know that you cut him because if he's able to come back and get healthy this season, I mean, he can still contribute. He's still that guy that got 10.5 sacks last season. And if he can put it together, maybe he can contribute.
Well, I don't think he means necessarily cut him right now. And that's what's not specific about his question. But I'm wondering if it's not possible in the offseason. Kansas City is going to have to do something about pass rush. We haven't really discussed what happened with Tom Bahali because it was announced by national media and then the local guys also came out and said that Tom Bahali was going to be activated on Wednesday and then he wasn't, or at least come back to practice on Wednesday and then he wasn't. And then Andy Reid said it's between his representatives, Tomba and Brett Veach. There's something more going on there that we don't know about.
Yeah, and we won't know until they decide to shed some light on it. I wonder if there was a renegotiation or if there was some, come-to-Jesus conversation about, do you really want to play? Are you to that point you're halfway through the season at this point. You have to be committed to making it through the rest, and I wonder if that's what the conversation was about.
Yeah, it's really hard to say what the conversation was about, but they definitely need to figure it out what he wants to do and what they're going to do with him because they can't just go and let it go at this point. It's got to be something that they got to fix, and they got to figure out if he's going to be able to play. If he's not, then I think you start maybe getting K-Pass in a lot more than you've seen him. I mean, he did play a little bit against the Broncos, which was encouraging.
Yeah, that's true. But right now, let me take a second and tell you about our sponsor, MyBookie. They're back with us. And ever since we started this podcast, people generally come to us and ask us for advice about the games that week. Usually it's what team to bet on, who you prefer this week versus last, where to risk your money. Well, whether you're betting where you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting on. So that's why we always tell people to check out MyBookie. MyBookie has been in business for years, and they have a really solid reputation. They do 100% cash bonuses, so off the bat, you're making money for doing nothing. And they have the fastest payouts in just 2 business days. If you know who's going to win, why not put some money down and win big today? That's why we are asking people to check out MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting. It's the most rewarding player perks in this business. And they have an all-new mobile site that makes wagering on the go really, really easy. Join now, and MyBookie will even match your deposit up to $1,000, up to 100% bonus. So that's 2-for-1 for your cash. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate this offer and visit MyBookie today. You play, you win, you get paid. I mean, and let's not mix any bones about this. This is a team who has 3, when healthy, very good pass rushers. 2 of them are hurt. That's something that's got to get corrected. And that leads us into our second voicemail. So let's listen to this one, too.
Hey, Ryan and Chris. This is Jeff Payton out of Nashville. My Twitter handle is JP8857. Hey, quick question. I see you guys going back and forth a lot about K-Pass playing. I'm at the point where, in the limited time we have seen him play, would he or would he not be beneficial to start and just see where he's at and get him some snaps and some rep time opposed to playing with Dee Ford? Because we've seen what Dee Ford is able to produce and do. Would he be maybe an upgrade at all on maybe setting the edge and stopping the run to that side better than what Dee Ford does? Or do you think they just need to start a committee over there and playing everybody through? Just want to know your guys' thoughts. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, and that's honestly, that's what the question is, right? How do you feel about K-Pass right now?
I think he needs to probably get a little bit more playing time, but you're going to have to be careful with it because I still don't think he's ready to play even on a really rotational type basis. I think you have to be careful he's not ready. He wasn't ready for the NFL. I think you saw he was able to do a lot of different things in the preseason, but it was nothing that was really consistent. And if they, there was a lot of potential there. If you harness the potential correctly, he will be a very good player for years. If you push him too quickly and he develops bad habits, just trying to compensate and do things that they're asking him to do, it's going to set him back.
Yeah, I mean, calling Tano Passanio raw is a compliment because the level of coaching that he had in college and the scheme that he played in, playing a lot of wide nine, playing some stand-up, but it doesn't translate very well. He's having to relearn his position, the game, as being an outside linebacker. And I'm for it. I agree with you. He has to have more reps, especially and just email or voicemails from prior to the injury to Dee Ford. So I think that changes the scenario a little bit and puts a lot more emphasis given that you have Dee Ford out and Thomas not reactivated yet. So we're talking about Frank Zombo. And nothing against Frank. He does a good job. He holds down his position. He's solid in both aspects of the game versus run and versus pass, but he's not stellar. And I think...
But I will say this, and I hate to interrupt you, but I will say this about Frank Zombo. Even if it was Dee Ford this coming week, I don't think Dee Ford's getting around Tyron Smith.
Right. I mean, this is Tyron Smith's one of the most athletic left tackles in this league. And even Dee Ford's first step is not enough, really, to give him that kind of edge. The only thing that I like about Passanio over Frank Zombo, because Zombo, like I said, is solid. He's reliable. He is a luxury to have on this roster for situations just like this. And we talked about it all preseason. Is this the year Frank doesn't make the roster because they think they have enough pass rushers? Well, no. And they're lucky that they didn't let him go. But K-Pass has the raw strength and athleticism, and he even saw that just a touch in the last contest when he was rolling around and jumping over people. He's got athleticism that might be able to get him through. He's got some power, and I want to see him match up against Smith and see what he can do. If he can't be productive, okay. Like you said, he needs the reps anyway. But, man, I got to think that they rotate him through quite a bit, in my opinion.
Here's the problem with that. I get where you're going, and I get what you want. But the problem is you're putting him in a position where you know he's not going to succeed and he's going to fail. That is a extremely tall task for a experienced outside linebacker to try to take on Smith and be semi-productive or at least hold the edge. Putting him in that position is not going to be good for him. I'm not going to be surprised if they do it once or twice because it's not going to be a big deal if they just get him out there for a couple of plays and he gets a couple of reps, but putting him out there for a series, he's going to get manhandled and they're going to eat him alive.
Maybe. Yeah, you're probably right. But, man, I mean, with Justin Houston limited in practice, maybe he can go a full game. Maybe they have to dial that back a little bit. And in that case, I mean, you're talking about having to rotate him in there. Maybe he has to play a series. Maybe, and here's the scary part. Maybe he has to play a series with Zombo on the other side.
And that's possible. And, you know, if he has to, he has to. I mean, that's the way it goes, and that's okay. But I'm talking about if Houston is able to play, you don't put Passanio in there for more than a couple of snaps. It's a recipe to not help him.
Yeah. I mean, his natural bulk will help him set the edge. I think he can fare okay. There's multiple mixed reports about who the running back's going to be. I mean, technically, I don't think we have an answer on the final last-ditch appeal that Ezekiel Elliott filed. So
we don't.
We're still waiting for that as we record this late Thursday night, folks. So there's a report that Alfred Morris is going to start. They have McFadden, who's run on the Chiefs before. I mean, it's a total toss-up. So setting the edge is – even if you take out how poor the run defense has been lately, setting the edge is very important against this particular team.
Absolutely. And you look at what McFadden has done. McFadden isn't who he used to be. Alfred Morris is a decent running back, but – the thing that really gives the Cowboys the edge is their offensive line is fantastic. And that is really what you have to worry about. I'm trying to figure out how they're going to play defense against this offensive line, because if you run those dime sets or nickel sets at them on first down on a regular basis, Alfred Morris and McFadden might run for 150 apiece.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you sit back and play that dime on first and second down, they're going to destroy this Chiefs defense. You have to bring pressure. And I've got some gifts out there. Check my timeline, folks. Ryan Tracy, NFL. You can see some of the things that Ragland's doing well and some of the things that he's hesitating on. And it's a mixed bag at this point. I mean, he's four games into his career. I know everybody says, oh, he was drafted last year. Yeah, he didn't play a snap. Got hurt in training camp. So he is, for all intents and purposes, a rookie starting his fifth game. That's where Reggie Ragland is. So
yeah, and you need to give him some time. I mean, I think he'll be fine, but you have to also remember he's coming off an injury.
Yeah.
And that injury is hampered his development. He's not back into – I mean, he may be back into game shape, but he's not there physically yet and instinctively, which is the most important part.
Yeah, and once he settles in, he's comfortable, those instincts will take over, and I think he'll be there. I want to see them run out of the base defense more. You know, they need to have – two linebackers, and I mean linebackers. Dan Sorensen is not a hybrid. He's not a linebacker. He's neither. He is a safety. Pure and simple, that's all it is. And if they can stay in the base more and trust Ragland a little bit more, and I think he's shown enough in the pass game that he's not a complete liability. Now, third down, fine. Take him out. Go with Sorensen. Go with KPL. I liked what I saw from him last game as well. But they have to be stout against the run, because this team in Dallas needs to rely on the run game a little bit. Because really the only major matchup that they have to exploit in the pass game is Dez Bryant, in my opinion. Dak Prescott has been terrible down the middle of the defense. When you look at his passing grid, thanks to Next Gen Stats, all of his target areas down the middle are very, very poor performances. He's had the most success throwing to his right, which is going to be where Marcus Peters is at. So you're going to take that away. So he's at a disadvantage in two-thirds of the field. If he throws left, he's obviously going to be targeting either Mitchell, Gaines, Acker. I think Steven Nelson can hold his own. So that tells me that maybe Steven Nelson, Beasley, that's maybe a draw. So to me, this game comes down to Dak to Dez.
Yeah, and that's not a matchup that is probably going to be very good for Kansas City, especially if Dez is kept on the other side away from Peters, which I would imagine they're going to do. But you look at this Dallas team, and they're not near the team that they were last year. Everybody – I'm trying to say this carefully because I have a feeling that I'm going to get blown up for it, and that's fine. Dak Prescott – was this year's Deshaun Watson last year.
Mm-hmm. I see where you're going.
And I really do think that Deshaun Watson, and I do apologize. I mean nothing against the kid. I'm really sorry he got hurt, tore his ACL, horrible injury for the Texans. And that really stinks. But I think the teams are going to figure him out next year. I think he looked really good so far, but it's, you know, you don't have enough information on him yet to prepare for him as a defense. And you're looking at what Dak has had to deal with this year, and he is not the same player he was last year.
Right, right. And that shows in what he's able to do down the middle. And here's the thing is we've seen a string of problems against guarding tight ends the last couple of weeks. And I think this is the week where Eric Murray, Dan Sorensen to some extent, and whoever is in there on some of the passing downs at linebacker has an opportunity, because Jason Witten's still great. He makes catches that you don't expect him to make. He runs good routes. He doesn't have the athletic ability that he used to. He's not as fast as he used to be. And at this point, even as an undersized Eric Murray, giving up a few inches and a good 40 pounds to Witten, I think he's going to be in a good position to defend him. So I really think that forces the ball outside. And that's in this situation with Peters on one side, and we know he's not going to travel, it really sets the Chiefs up to be able to focus their attention on the opposite side of the field, give some help, and try to take Dez away.
Yeah, and they're going to have to try to take Dez away, but we're going to see how effective that is, how effective the Chiefs' corners are. You know, Kenneth Acker, for all the heck he got last week, really battled through that game. And, you know, you got another chance going up against a receiver that's a lot like Demaryius Thomas when it comes to size in Dez Bryant. I think that Akers might play again this week, and I'm okay with that. I think he comes in and he gives the Chiefs something that they haven't had in Mitchell. And maybe you go back to Mitchell when, you know, after the bye week, because you're going to be going up against the Giants team that has no wide receivers that they're planning on using other than for special teams.
Yeah. And we got to remember, Ken Akers came in cold. I think he played about 7 snaps before the last start. I mean, you can even treat that as a game where he had to warm up into it. So, you know, I'm not going to hold that against him. I think they are in good shape. And if Mitchell's turned the corner this week in practice, then maybe he's back out there. I think the big thing is that Steven Nelson's back and he looks athletic. He doesn't look like he's hampered at all. And that changes the scope of what you can do because, much like Terrence Mitchell, he's aggressive, he's physical, and he's not going to be deterred by a guy that's bigger than him.
No, and then the great thing about Nelson and getting any kind of person back other than maybe Tom Bahali at this time of year is that they're fresh. Tom Bahali, and that's the thing that scares me about him, and we don't need to go down that road, but I don't know how fresh he's really going to be. I mean, he may be fresh for a game or two, but is his body going to hold up for the rest of it?
Yeah.
But with Steven Nelson, I'm not worried about that. I think he looked like he was, you know, 85 to 90% of the player that he was last year. And that's very encouraging, his first game back with very little practice.
Now, on the other side of the ball, Mitch Morse being back made a big difference in the last game. And again, another situation where he'd been out for a while and he was shaking some rust off too. I didn't think Zach Fulton looked very comfortable. There are a couple of plays that I really think he cost that team, especially in the run game. But if LDT is able to go, we're talking about Kareem Hunt being let loose again with a full offensive line. Maybe we even see Parker Ehinger someday. I don't know. He's in there somewhere.
Yeah, and I wonder, you look at Parker Ehinger and you think, well, maybe they're waiting until he's fully back and fully healthy and, you know, back in game shape. You know, it's different for offensive linemen. He hasn't been able to hit anybody really, you know, until he started practicing, and he's, you know, months behind everybody else. You don't want to throw him out there and have him not be ready. You know, maybe they're looking after the bye, or maybe he comes back this week. You know, we really don't know, you know. The media is only allowed to see so much of practice, and it's not going to really give you any idea until right before the game who the starters are going to be. And that's where you found out where Kenneth Akers was going to start, and that's where you found out where Reggie Ragland was going to start when we were at the game against Washington.
Yeah, when they came out for warmups, they were like, whoa, Reggie's running with the ones.
And we're sitting there with Matt Derrick, and me and him are trying to see who can get it out on Twitter first.
Folks, I didn't even try. My thumbs don't work that fast.
Yeah, his thumbs don't work hardly ever, but it's like pecking with his nose.
I might as well. So, hey, I'll live with it. All right. So, at the end of the day, where do you come down? What's your prediction for this one?
It's tough because you look at what Dallas can do and you look at the players that they have and you think that this team is underperforming. And that's not been a good formula for Kansas City. Dak Prescott hasn't played well this season. We saw how that worked out for the Steelers. We saw how that worked out for the Raiders. He's a better quarterback than Trevor Siemian is. And Trevor Siemian got benched. And that's going to be funny to watch if Brock Osweiler ends up and goes and makes $800,000 a game being paid by Cleveland.
Well, and I like the fact that we can say the Chiefs have – given Brock Osweiler the starting job twice now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's entertaining. I think that Kansas City has the opportunity to win this game. I think their offense is going to come out and they're going to be aggressive and they're going to take it at Dallas. And I don't think Dallas's defense isn't near what Denver's is. But Dallas's defense has a good defensive line. Their corners are getting better. You know, Sean Lee is a very good linebacker, so you have to wonder, you know, how's this going to play out when it comes to the game? I think Kansas City wins, but I think it's going to be a lot closer, maybe 24-20.
Wow, that's almost exactly how I see it, too. I think this is
Okay, well, then we need to change that because that's not going to work.
I think this is probably the tightest that I've seen on paper, given how both teams played last week and then the most relative comparison to how they combine, you know, strength on strength and weakness on weakness. I think the Chiefs can win this. I want to see which defense shows up. You know, they've been flip-flopping between being able to stop the pass and stop the run and back and forth and back and forth. At the end of the day, I'm right there with you. I have the Chiefs winning with a late field goal, 24-21. We'll see if we're close or if we're way off. And, you know, folks, this is the first time I think we've been this nearly in sync on what we think is going to happen. So,
which is never a good sign.
No, we're probably going to be way off now. But we want to know what you think. So please hit us up on Twitter, the Locked On Chiefs account, Chris Clark NFL, Ryan Tracy NFL. Let us know what you think because we want to keep a track and see how everybody's feeling out there. It should be a very interesting game. It's going to be a late. It's going to be another. It's not nationwide, but it's going to be another game where they get a lot of exposure. And
a lot like the Steelers game.
Right, right. So, you know, it's still a bigger stage than they're normally on in a regular game. So let's keep our fingers crossed. Hit us with all of your predictions. We want to have a good conversation in the next day or two leading up to the game. We have a ton for you next week, and we will be live Sunday night after the contest to give you our immediate reaction. Make sure you're subscribed on iTunes and Megaphone and Stitcher and Google Play. All of them. They're all in the show notes, so you can click on anything that you can see or hear right now, and you'll be able to find it. Thanks for listening to us today.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review, and reach out to us on Twitter, @RyanTracyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.